This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Michael K. and Peter Rosenberg with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, your responsibility. Who's missing? Don LaGreca is missing as he begins a much-deserved vacation.
Like, flush it.
Yeah. He's going to flush this all down.
He deserves it even more. He deserves it even more after his performance at the Mark Sasso softball game on Saturday.
Walk-off home run, I heard.
He's unbelievable, that guy. He just crushes the ball. By the way, Dave LaGreca was crushing the ball, too.
Now, our good friend who follows us and follows us on Twitter, Steve Brzezinski, said that you hit into a double play in softball.
I did.
Is this something you're proud of?
Listen, I was 1-for-2. First at bat, smacked a single right up the middle. No doubter, just a beautiful up the gut
grounder
single.
Or a line drive?
Grounder. But okay. Anthony, you would say that first one was a beautiful, just straight on single, right?
Oh, yeah, you did a great job.
A clean smack, good contact, base hit, no doubt.
Bear was excited.
Bear got riled up. Then I did bat with the bases loaded. I'll be honest, before I had to bat, I was actually talking to listeners and not fully paying attention that it was time. So I literally counted the men on base when I got up. And I have this terrible quality in softball of I always say to myself, hey, if it's not the pitch you want, wait for the next one. And this pitch was not the pitch I wanted, but by the time it gets to me, I'm too greedy, and it was inside on me, and I just nubbed it down to third or short, I forget.
Well, how does a nub turn into a double play? Oh, you're not running hard?
Well, it was a nub, but there was enough on it for it to be a pretty straight-ahead ground ball.
So and it wasn't a nub. One man's nub is another man's.
Was I running hard? I can't say I was running the hardest I've ever ran in my life, but it was pretty clearly a double play ball from the second I made contact. Now, that was not the most pathetic athletic achievement or lack thereof of the weekend. Yesterday, I was in Long Beach with Natalie, and on our way back, we drove by the batting cages.
Oh, no.
And Natalie said, let's go hit the batting cages. So I said, you know what? Let's do it. So we stepped out, and I jumped into the batting cage, Michael. And in my first 10 balls, I could not get contact.
You should have gone to your old high school fallback and bunted.
I did. That's how I got contact. I swear to God, you know me so well. I turned around, squared right up, laid down a beauty.
That's when you know, your girlfriend is really impressed. She's really turned on when she sees
did
that.
She did say something. I think she didn't even understand what I was doing. She said, what is that? So I get out of the cage, and I say to the guy working there, I go, hey, how fast is this thing right now? Because I can't see it. He said, it's 55. I said, hold on. 55? So I go back in for token number 2, another 10 balls. And by the way, this is after Natalie went, and she made contact with a bunch of them and hit a few forward, like actually, you know, decent contact. So I got in there.
So how many balls did she make contact with?
Anyways, I get back in there.
I'm just asking.
I get back in there, and I start again. I whiff on the first one. And Natalie tells me, she says, step further away from the plate.
Oh, now she's Kevin Long. Okay.
I call her Kalo. And she said, step back from the plate a little bit. So I step back. Now, normally I already think I'm too far away because like you, Michael, I'm scared of the ball. So I assume I was too close already. But listen, she may as well be Kevin Long. Because the second I stepped back, I started hitting the ball every time. But I don't know what it is with the balls they use at those driving ranges. It hurts every time you make contact. It's awful.
Wow. This was a stop you should not have made, my friend.
It was, and by the way, and then
especially
on the
way, after the double play in a softball game.
Well, that's all the more reason I felt I had to. And then on the way out, the guy whose place it was, he's in the office. He sees me walking out, and he goes, "Hey, Peter, thanks for coming, man." I went, "Oh, great."
And oh, this no. guy,
yeah, he knew who I was as I was embarrassing myself.
Total neuter.
But Don's game was a great success, though.
A lot of fans?
A lot of great listeners came out. It was really nice getting to catch up with so many different families, kids, so many people we see every year, plus ones we've never met before at all. It was just a really lovely event. The Sasso family, fantastic and hospitable as always. Ken Danico, a terrific performance. The big fella, Chris Carlin, who I told Chris this when I saw him. I believe we talk up his fatness too much. Chris is not as fat as we talk him up to be.
Okay.
I believe. And he, of course, denied that and said he just carries it well. But when I saw him, I hadn't seen him in so long. By the way, you want to know who looks terrific?
Not Dave Rothenberg.
He wasn't there. So actually, he looked the best he's ever looked. Pinhead PD, Ryan Hurley.
Oh, he's lost a lot of weight, right?
He's lost 40 pounds, Mike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going. I was very proud. I mean, I did not know he'd lost weight when he walked up. I was taken aback. But Greg Buddle was in rare form. By the way, Greg Buddle was pitching, and he was wearing like a face shield of sorts, but it wasn't the traditional the catcher's shield. Anthony, wouldn't you say Greg Buddle had a bit of a Hannibal Lecter vibe going on?
There was a lot going on there. But I would say one thing. He was definitely protected from whatever would come back at him. And there were some hard-hit balls, too.
By the way, you know what it dawned on me for the first time? For people to understand how the Sasso softball game works, and it raises money for an amazing cause to get scholarships for kids from low-income families to go to school, single-parent homes. So we play the winner of a tournament. So they're playing round robin all day. And then we show up, the big bad 98.7 ESPN team. And all the crowd is there to watch us and root for us, right? So, Michael, essentially, it's like a Globetrotter game. Except the team is rooting for the fans are rooting for the Generals.
Oh,
because
really?
We're playing against ringers.
Oh, you guys are the Generals. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, we're the Generals. They have to make special rules. More than two home runs per inning, and they're called outs. All the rules are meant for us to be able to compete, but everyone's there to cheer for us. So, like, these guys are there and have to take it easy on us. Meanwhile, Michael, they could literally homer every single at bat. Like, this is what they do. So shout out to those guys too. Great bunch of guys to play with. So really great day out in Hawthorne.
Well, I was watching, following it on Twitter with all the pictures that people sent out. It was great. Don looked great with his compression pants on. I loved it. And the man's a big man. He's very athletic. He's the most athletic of the three of us on the show, I would say.
I think that's correct. And I will say this though, the hair. There's going to have
troubling.
To. Yeah, there's going to have to be a conversation here at some point.
Yeah, I don't exactly know what he's trying to accomplish, and neither does his wife, which is really problematic.
Yeah, you don't want to be called John Kruk. And he was getting that.
Yeah. Yes is going to show some highlights of the game in the first break, so if you're watching on TV, stay tuned for that. All right, so we go from that baseball to Yankee baseball, or for softball to baseball, and it's time for the Pinstripe Report. And brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Well, Peter, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Woof.
What a first impression by Anthony Rizzo. Wow. You can't ask for anything better. He did everything well. You know, the Yankees ended up sweeping the Marlins over the weekend, and this wasn't that much different than every single Yankee game before they got Gallo and Rizzo. They scored 10 runs in three games, not much. They didn't come through in big situations with people on base. And you could actually make the case that if they didn't get Anthony Rizzo, they might have lost all three games. I mean, that's how important Anthony Rizzo was. Two home runs. Yesterday they let him off. Played a great first base, although he was charged with an error that should have been a team error yesterday. He's just so smooth. He's the perfect, I mean, the absolute perfect acquisition by the Yankees, because he's got championship pedigree. He knows what he's doing. You could see that the team embraces him already. And it's funny how fans are, Peter. I don't know if you're following it. Yankees have to sign this guy right now. He's been here three days. Why don't you let it breathe a little bit before you say, let's sign him? He certainly is a perfect fit. And the thing that impressed me the most, and maybe the other Yankees could pick up on this, just maybe. Against tough left-handers, he takes the ball the other way. He did it twice over the weekend, got big hits. Yesterday, he tied the game with a base hit against Blyer. And he's just he's everything that you would want an acquisition to be. And if you think about the lack of production that the Yankees have gotten out of first base, and now they have the stud over there, 5-for-9, 2 home runs, 3 ribbies, 5 runs scored, 3 walks, hit by a pitch once, did everything in the field that you'd want him to do. All of a sudden, Jay Bruce, Mike Ford, the injuries to Luke Voit, it's kind of a distant memory because you have yourself a legitimate first baseman. And another thing, you don't realize how important great defense is until you get it again. I mean, bad defense, it's like, okay, that's part of the furniture. No. The Yankees have had a history of great defensive first basemen. You have Mattingly. You have a Teixeira. Guys that could really pick it over at first base. And, you know, then you went to Jason. Well, Jason Giambi was before Teixeira and after Mattingly, and that wasn't great. Tino Martinez, a great defensive first baseman. And, you know, every guy the Yankees have run out there of late, not a great defensive first baseman. I mean, they get the job done, but not great defensive first baseman. Rizzo's great. And that's not hyperbole. He has 4 gold gloves, a platinum glove. This guy can pick it with anybody, and he has more scoops than anybody over the last 4 years in all of Major League Baseball. So he's going to make he's going to make a guy like Gleyber Torres better. He's going to make every infielder better because you don't have to make that perfect throw. You make a throw in the dirt. He made a play yesterday that it goes unnoticed because it seems so smooth. There was a ball to the outfield side of first base that was thrown. I forget who threw it. I think it might have been Tyler Wade. And just the way he switched his feet, he didn't stretch before the throw was made. He saw where the throw was and then stretched and kept his foot on the bag and scooped the ball on the backhand. And those are the kind of plays that you don't notice when there's a bad first baseman there. You go, well, yeah, it's just a bad throw. Yeah, but a great first baseman takes care of their infielders, and they take care of those bad throws. So I think I'm so looking forward tonight, Peter, to this guy stepping up to the plate wearing pinstripes. And I think it's going to be a big deal. He revealed that he has a lot of family and friends in New Jersey. His wife is from Connecticut. He grew up a Yankee fan. He was actually in the stands, Peter.
I know.
For David Cone's perfect game.
Yep.
Which is kind of amazing. So there's some lineage there. And you get a situation now. He's going to get to put the pinstripes on. I know it sounds corny. And I know it sounds, you know, Yankee boy. But for a lot of these players, it does mean something. There's kind of like a vestment almost feel to it that, you know, very few uniforms in sports measure up to the Yankee pinstripes or mean as much to the people at play. And if you don't think that's true, just see how willingly everybody is to shave their beard and cut their hair. Guys that have had beard, I mean, Joey Gallo has had a beard for 10 years. Didn't argue. Randy Johnson didn't argue. Johnny Damon didn't argue because this is a little different. It just hits a little different for these people. So I think the crowd, now it's against the Orioles, so I don't know how big a crowd there's going to be. I bet you the guy gets a standing ovation when he comes up. I really do. And that's how important he is. And very quietly, you get Rizzo and you get Gallo, who finally broke his schneid yesterday with a blistering double over De La Cruz's head in right field, so he doesn't come here on an offer. But the Yankees gained 3 games. On the Red Sox over the weekend, because the Red Sox got swept by Tampa Bay, and all of a sudden Tampa Bay is in first place. So the Yankees didn't lose any games on them, and slow and steady wins the race. And if you look at what's coming up for the Yankees, I mean, the Marlins are dreadful. They're really bad. They can't score. So you sweep the Marlins, you're supposed to do that. The Red Sox are 30. The Orioles are 30 games under 500, so you get them for 3 games. The Mariners are starting to skid, so you get them for 4 games, and then you get the Royals for 3 games. And, you know, you could look up at the end of these 10 games and the Yankees could make up even more ground. You know, when we grade what they did during the trade deadline, mm-hmm. Well, you have to love what they did getting Gallo and Rizzo. You have to love what the Blue Jays did because they just swept the Royals as well, so they gained 3 games on the Red Sox. And getting Nelson Cruz is going to play big for Tampa Bay. But the one team that didn't do enough, I think, and I think that sends a message to a team, it's the Red Sox. And the best player that the Red Sox got was Kyle Schwarber, and he's not playing yet, so he can't even energize the team. Maybe their best acquisition will be Chris Sale, where I'm hearing he's going to make one more rehab start, and then he'll start for the Red Sox. Maybe that will energize them. But the Red Sox went into St. Pete yesterday, or on Friday, and they got swept. This is the same team that took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees. So I think teams that make big moves get energized. I think teams that don't make enough moves don't get energized. Which, and we'll talk about the Mets a little bit later as well. They didn't get energized just by getting Javi Baez, especially on the heels of the news. And we had this right before we went off the air on Friday that Jacob DeGrom's out until September. And you didn't get a pitcher. You didn't get a big-time pitcher. Rich Hill is not making up for the loss of Jacob DeGrom. And I know that no one's going to make up for the loss of Jacob DeGrom, but at least you can come closer than Rich Hill. So I think teams really do get jacked up when their front office does something like this. And I think the Yankees, even Judge said it yesterday on the postgame to Meredith Marakovich on Yes. You know, we look at the lineup now this week and we go, these are the Yankees. I mean, they didn't just add players. They added a World Series champion at first. They added a guy who has as many home runs per bat as some of the top players in baseball and a great defender in the outfield. All in all, a very good weekend for the Yankees. You don't hang on the rim about it because the Marlins are terrible. And the Mets catch a break because after losing 2 out of 3 to the Reds, they go to Miami now and they play 4 games against a terrible team. So let's see what they do. But I was really mesmerized by the effect that Rizzo had on this team, Peter. He really, really did. You could see that everybody's looking to him and he is leading. Although he's been here 3 days, he just has that natural leadership capability.
So I know it's going to sound like I'm raining on the parade. I'm not trying to do that. I thought it was awesome. And I enjoyed following along all weekend as well. It's obviously a dream start when you get a player that they come through in the way that he did. 2 home runs and then really got things going for them yesterday as well. But, Michael, to the point that you made at the beginning, people do have to calm down. Like, you don't want to start making commitments in your mind after a weekend. Do people already forget earlier this season Giancarlo Stanton had, what, an 11-game hit streak?
No, I get it, but...
You can't fall in love in 3 days. It's fantastic. It was a great start. Can everyone just chill and give it a minute?
Yeah, but here's why they fall in love. So I'll defend the fans for a moment. They haven't had a date all year. So now not only do they have a date, but they have a pretty hot date. And they fell in love. I mean, Rizzo is everything that you'd want in a player. And he got off to the kind of start that you dream about. Now, I would pump the brakes, so they should sign him now. I mean, come on. I mean, let's see this thing play out. He is 31 years old. And, you know, even Brian Cashman said, we're not thinking about past 2021. They know they have Gallo for 2022. But they got a lot of business that they have to do. I mean, they got to decide, are we signing Judge or not? If they do, or are they willing to also take on a big salary in Rizzo? And one thing, though, Peter, I looked at Rizzo's contract. He signed a team-friendly contract with the Cubs. I mean, I think he makes like $8 million a year for the last 7 years, or $9 million a year, which for somebody of his skill level is very, very low. So I don't know what he would want in his next deal. So if you're dealing in that end of the pool, maybe you can do it again, but that's all for at the end of the year. I think the Yankees really have their sights set now on making the playoffs. They think they're going to. And I said this on Friday. They didn't make these deals so they could get into the playoffs. They made these deals to win the World Series. They really think they can win the World Series. And very quietly, out of nowhere, you know who just won the American League Pitcher of the Month in July?
Go ahead.
Jameson Taillon.
There you go.
There have been very few people in baseball that have pitched better than Jameson Taillon. So everybody was piling on Cashman about that deal with the Pirates. How's that looking now? It looks pretty good. Looks pretty good. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Now, do you think... that Don will relax at all during these vacation days?
I do well.
What do you mean? Is he going to the shore?
I don't know. I don't think he is this week. No. I think it's just pool time. Were the Twins at the game?
It's true. Oh, I have an indoor pool.
The Twins were at the game. Declan was at the game.
Oh.
The great Jay LaGreca was at the game.
Really?
Oh, I had a great moment with Jay.
What do you mean?
Jessica, I went over and said hello. I hadn't seen her in so long. She looked great. She seemed so happy being around her grandchildren. She had a pep in her step.
Really?
She did.
You think she's watching without Don working today?
I think so.
Why not, right?
But I think Don will relax a little bit. I mean, what, you think he'll just because he's chasing the kids constantly?
No. He has to. You can't just turn off 30%, Peter. You got to talk somehow. He's going to do a show for somebody.
Oh, God, that'd be so fabulous. And you better kill me.
He'll be on the phone with people giving opinions. He, this stuff will explode if he doesn't.
Also, do you see the picture on my Instagram page, Michael? What a beautiful shot by Jeff Scopin. Just a terrific shot of
me. No, I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful picture right there on Rosenberg Radio. And
this is on Insta, not on Twitter.
No, Instagram. The Instagram, if you will.
Uh-huh.
But so nice to see everyone, too. I got to see the great Dan Grasso, Bob Wischusen.
How was Wischusen as an athlete? I'm curious.
Oh, he's one of the great athletes of all time.
Bob!
Oh, that is a good picture of you, but it looks like you're, you know, looking up at a plane.
You know what? It's slow pitch, Michael. The ball is pretty high.
Mm.
Look at that. That's that. You see that concentration. You're right. I'm dialed in.
Well, you're locked in. I mean, that's what Klong would want.
Then you see the front foot up, ready to deliver.
Oh, it's a timing.
I love baseball.
I love the green shorts.
Thank you. Everything goes
well. You're like a Christmas come to life in July.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice.
Wow. I'm happy for you. I really am. I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
You were missed. A lot of people asking about you, almost too many. Where's Michael? I said, where do you think?
He's working.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Yankees
I saw Anita did well, right?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, because, like I said, I was doing a lot of listener interaction. I will say I saw there was one inning. I had a great time seeing Anita. Nice catch up. Spent some time with her adorable dogs. Bear didn't even get upset at her dogs. It was nice. But she did have one half inning that was a little rough defensively.
She's a gamer.
Kind of like she kind of had a DiPietro moment from last year. Remember, DiPietro last year was a disaster.
Was DiPietro there?
No.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
But no, Anita's a fantastic athlete. No Canty.
So the whole morning show didn't show up?
Not a one.
Not even RJ?
Not even RJ.
Wow, what a disconnect, huh?
That is, you know what?
That's not good.
Well, I mean, honestly, was there one other full-timer there? I mean, listen, even Bill Daughtry came out of retirement.
Damer was there, right?
Damer was there.
And Hardesty was on the air, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. What a lack of respect from the morning show.
Well, and by the way, and no Bart or Han.
From everybody.
So it's basically every other full-time local show that's here. You know what they said to Don?
They flush it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
What was your take, Michael K., on the Mets' decision to not sign this kid Rocker?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I got a lot to talk.
Because I read Ken Davidoff's piece yesterday, Michael. Sure, I did. Sure, I did.
Ken's going to be proud of that.
I'm sure he will be. And yeah, it did feel very Mets-like. To be honest, I mean, in reading about the kid, he does sound exciting, and it seemed like financially the move to make when you look at risk versus reward would have been to give him some money. But you tell me.
There are so many things that this decision is going to impact. First of all, it's very Wilponian.
Very Wilponian, yes.
Now, if Jeff and Fred did this, people would be up in arms. So here's the deal. Rocker, at the beginning of the college season, was projected to be the first or second pick. That's how great he had been at Vanderbilt. He won a College World Series in his first year there. He had tied Jack Leiter this year for the most strikeouts. I think it was 147. His stuff had dropped just a little bit this year in terms of velocity. And all of a sudden, the Mets are picking 10th, and there's Kumar Rocker. So they grabbed him. And it seemed like that's a pretty good gamble, man. Now, he was one guy who elected to not undergo an MRI by Major League Baseball's doctors. Other players accept it. He didn't. Mets knew that. The Mets knew that when they took him. And they agreed to a higher than slot bonus of about $6+ million, which you usually don't get as the 10th pick. They also knew that Kumar Rocker's agent is Scott Boras, who's not giving anybody any kind of discount. They knew all this. And they also knew that there was somewhat of a drop in velocity over the last year. And they had agreed previously to this bonus. Now, because they agreed to it, Peter, every single selection in the Major League Draft is slotted, especially in the first round. And a team only has so much money to spend over all the rounds. So they have to allocate the expenditure. So because they were giving the number 10 pick way more than the number 10 pick usually gets, they took lesser players throughout the draft because they were not going to sign those players to their slot. They were going to be under slot players. You getting all this?
I am.
So the whole draft progresses as if they're giving Kumar Rocker $6+ million. And so they take the lesser players to give them under value, under slot money. They sign all their players except for Rocker, who they don't like what they see on the medicals. And from everything I've heard, they didn't even make him an offer. It wasn't like, well, we'll give you $4 million because your elbow looks a little sketchy. Never made him an offer. So what the Mets did, they just traded Pete Crow Armstrong, a draft pick from a couple of years ago in the first round. The year before, Brody and all his brilliance traded Jared Kelnick, first-round draft pick. The only one they have left of a first-round draft pick is Brett Batty, the third baseman. Okay. Now they gave up their 10th pick this year, and because they didn't sign him, they'll get the 11th pick next year. But what they did was they have $1.3 million out of their bonus money that they are not going to spend. And that's not money that Steve Cohen needs. Now, to make matters worse, Steve Cohen tweeted this out 20 hours ago as if he's educating the Met fans are complaining about them not doing the Kumar Rocker deal. Education time. Baseball draft picks are worth up to 5 times their slot value to clubs. I never shy away from investments that can make me that type of return. Uncle Stevie, what are you doing? What are you doing? First of all, you just submarine the collective bargaining agreement. You just said publicly on Twitter that draft picks are worth 5 times what they're getting. So you don't think the Players Association is going to bring this up in the next collective bargaining? One of your 30 owners just said that these draft picks are undervalued. That's number one. Number two, pipe down. So what if you sign this guy? So what if he had to get Tommy John surgery? So what? What is $6 million to you? It was slotted money anyway. Why wouldn't you just sign the guy? And another level to this too, everybody. I saw a lot of people scream about this. Now, some of them I agree with to a point. Some I desperately disagree with. Well, it's not fair that this guy's not signed by the Mets and then he can't sign with any other team. No. That doesn't work. Because then every draft pick wouldn't sign with their team, become a free agent, and then the richer teams would bid on them. So you can't do that where if you don't sign, all of a sudden you become a free agent, every team could bid on you. But the one thing that they should consider, Peter, the Mets didn't make him an offer. Why isn't he free to sign with anybody else then? Why does he have to wait a whole year? He's got to play semi-pro baseball now. Or he could go to Japan. But I don't even know, Japan and the MLB have an agreement, so he's probably not able to do that. So Why is he not allowed to sign with anybody after the Mets said, you know what, we're not offering you anything? So they picked the guy, didn't offer him anything, didn't even negotiate, and now the guy is stuck and can't play? That's not fair. So that's going to open up a can of worms as well. Cohen opening his mouth, dumb move. The owners are going to be all over him. I'm sure he got a call from Rob Manfred. Can't be saying this. I'm going into a negotiation for a new collective bargaining agreement, and you saying that that draft picks are five times their value?
What was the point of the message?
The message was, this guy's so damaged, that's why we didn't sign him. Had nothing to do with money, because I know it's a great deal. You get five times the money you spend. So he's trying to tell Met fans, listen, I know what I'm doing. If this guy was healthy, of course I would have signed him. The Mets took out an ad in Queens on a subway about Rocker coming. It's the most ridiculous thing. So dumb. So dumb. Because the Yankees drafted Clark Schmidt a couple of years ago. He had just had Tommy John surgery. Teams do that. Tommy John surgery is not a death sentence. So if there's something wrong with his elbow...
Isn't it almost standard issue at this point?
I mean, some things go poorly, Peter, but for the most part, there are parents that are getting high school kids Tommy John surgery preemptively.
Right.
To make them throw harder. So I don't think it's not like open heart surgery. Although there was that terrible case of the kid a month ago who underwent Tommy John and did die. Got an infection. But the bottom line is this. It's a bad look for the Mets. There's no other way you could paint it. They left money on the table. They didn't sign their number one pick. Now their system has no first-round draft pick coming into it. They're a system that's light anyway, and you just cost yourself a first-round draft pick. And the kid was supposedly all about playing for the Mets. And another thing that will probably not even be brought up, this guy's so important to Major League Baseball. He's an African-American athlete that is a top-flight athlete, and you're finally getting him into play baseball rather than go to the other sports, and that's what baseball wants, and you just completely obliterated him. Awful. Awful. Now, one other thing.
What happens to him now?
Nothing. He can't do anything. He can either go back and work out at Vanderbilt. He can't play. Or he can go play in a semi-pro league.
For how long?
An independent league. He has to wait a year till the next draft. He has to wait a year of his life not playing because the Mets didn't offer him a contract. How is that fair? Tell me how that fair is.
Wait, hold on.
Tell me how's that fair.
Right. So they get to draft him.
Right.
Then he played his next season at Vanderbilt. He finishes out that season.
No, I think he's done with his Vanderbilt.
But when was the draft?
June.
So he was already done. Okay. So they draft him. He thinks he's going to go. Then after he's drafted, another team can't get him. They decide, we don't like the physicals. We're going to go ahead and say no here. And he can't go anywhere else. He's just scratched for a year.
He's in purgatory. He's in baseball purgatory. Now let's talk about the Mets at the trade deadline. It was not a good weekend for the Mets. They came very close to getting swept by the Reds. Javi Baez did hit a two-run home run in his first game, made it 4-3. It was 4-1. And then it's amazing, too. If you watch enough baseball, you realize, we depend on analytics so much. The Marlins twice brought in left-handed pitchers to face Anthony Rizzo when he's hitting like 340 against left-handers and 250 against righties. So that's one thing. They take out Heath Hembree in the ninth inning to bring in a lefty with a runner on second for the Mets, a tying run. It's 4-3. And they bring in a lefty to face Dominic Smith, who hits lefties great. And he lined a single to center field, tied it, and they ended up winning in the 10th inning. And then they lost yesterday. Stroman didn't have a great game. So I don't think the Mets did enough. Now, do I think that they're going to win the East? Yeah, because the Mets are one game under 500 since the All-Star break, Peter. They just had their longest road homestand of the year. They were 5-6. They didn't really lose any ground because the Phillies and the Braves can't get out of their own way. Now, both the Phillies and the Braves did make really important additions to their team. Maybe it'll pay off in time, but the Mets knew before the trade deadline what the deal was with DeGrom. He wasn't pitching till September. and you didn't go the extra mile to pick up a starting pitcher? The guy you got from the Cubs is not enough in the Javi Baez deal. You got to get a top flight guy. If you had to dig deeper into your system to get Barrios, then you had to do it. Sometimes you do have to overpay. When the baby is crying and starving, you've got to pay for milk even if you don't have the money. The Mets didn't do anything. They got Javi Baez, and that's a nice addition. He's a really good player. Strikes out a lot, but a really good player. But you don't add any pitching of substance when you know, you knew before the trade deadline that DeGrom was hurt. How about this stat too, Peter? This is amazing, this stat. So Taijuan Walker has really struggled since the All-Star game. Taijuan Walker has pitched 99 innings this year. So you know why I tell you that? His previous four seasons... Previous four seasons combined, he had 77 innings. So what do you expect the guy to do? He's hit a wall. I don't know if he's going to run through that wall. I don't know if he's fatigued to the point that he might get hurt. Let's hope that that's not the case. But think about it. 77 innings the last 4 years, he's way past where they would want him to be. So you knew that that was going to happen. Stroman didn't pitch last year. So he's up against innings that he might be running into a wall. And you knew that DeGrom was hurt. And you didn't get a big-time pitcher. As you know, Peter, I would call this front office malfeasance.
You love malfeasance.
You can't just sit back and rest on the laurels of the fact that the Braves and the Phillies can't get out of their own way. You know what? We'll survive because they're so bad. Well, what if they go off on a run? I looked at the Met schedule, right? You got to see this. This is the Met schedule coming up. They've got the four games against the Marlins. They better win at least three of them. Then they have three games in Philly. Then they have the stripped-down Nationals. So that is essentially your Little League portion of August. Then three against the Dodgers at Citi Field, three against the Giants in San Francisco, four against the Dodgers in L.A., and then three against the Giants at Citi Field. That's where the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves might make up a lot of ground. A lot. So I'm not quite sure why they just sat on their hands. I know that Brody did not leave them with a big farm system. But come on. Come on. You didn't do enough. You didn't do enough when the Braves redid their outfield. The Phillies went out and got Ian Kennedy to close. They all made big moves. You got Javi Baez. And that's a big player. But I think you need pitching more. Not a great weekend for the Mets, and the rocker thing just starts it off. They should be embarrassed by that. That's ugly, and then Cohen piling on and providing the Players Association with a negotiating point that they will bring to the table. An owner of a team put that out in a tweet that these draft picks are worth five times more than what we give them. Not smart, Steve.
Also, does he have to start the whole tweet with education time? Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
Like, is just tone-wise, is that the vibe you're going for?
Yeah.
Okay. I told you guys. I hope he turns out to be great for you Mets fans. He comes off as a nozzle.
Now, Ralph said that Rocker can go back to Vandy and play. I guess he was a junior. He didn't want to. And, you know, some people saying, you know what, you can strike out 12 college players, but not minor league. Then why draft him? That's my point. You drafted him. You came to a pre-agreement that you were going to give him that money. Why would you draft him then? You can't defend what the Mets did. They gave away the 10th pick in the draft for what? They completely ruined this kid. And, again, a bad elbow is not the end of the world. So you give him Tommy John surgery now, and then he helps you in 2023. He's a college player anyway. He's close to being big league ready anyhow. What a joke. Just think about the two Vandy kids. So Jack Leiter signs with the Rangers, gets $8 million bonus, and the Rangers, who are smart, go, you know what, Jack? you've been through a lot this year, pitching for Vanderbilt. The pandemic's going on. Well, just go back to Vandy, go to classes, work out with the team, and come to spring training next year. They didn't even send him to a minor league team. That's how smart they were. And the Mets draft his teammate, Kumar Rocker, and completely stick it to him. Awful.
And by, to the point you made earlier, imagine if he did turn out to be a stud.
Like, what a thing for the Mets that would
from
be.
From a cultural standpoint, to have this black dude come into town, young stud pitcher again, like the level of cultural excitement you could have around that team, kind of harkens back to good days with that team.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And as I said, their whole draft after him, Peter, was predicated on him because they were giving him more money than they were allowed with the 10th pick. So they took lesser players in every other round.
So they wanted him so much that they were willing to sacrifice other draft picks in that draft.
Right. So you completely screwed your whole draft. Your 2021 draft, you screwed.
And they could have just gambled on it, so at least they didn't just throw that out the window. And it would have been $6 million?
$6-plus million. It was more than he would have gotten, more than the 10th slot is given.
Yeah, but wasn't he considered a steal at 10?
Oh, he was considered an unbelievable steal. How could Rocker drop to 10? Well, maybe other teams had those same concerns, but the Mets had to know about those concerns, and they still took him, and then they don't sign him. You knew the concerns. That's why he dropped the 10. He didn't drop the 10 because he was a bad player. He dropped the 10 because there was a deterioration in velocity. So you knew that going in. And then you affected the rest of your draft. That is just an awful move by the Mets. So the deadline goes without signing him. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds. They didn't make a trade for a big-time pitcher. That's not a great weekend for the New York Mets.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I've got some very distressing news. That for 20 minutes, the television portion of the Michael K. Show will in fact be a Peter Rosenberg visual only event.
Why?
Well, they're having some kind of electrical situation with my camera. So Peter's
dear
home,
God.
He's eating popcorn, I think, now, and he's on camera.
Oh, I guess I'll have to stop this.
You give him bare popcorn?
I just gave him one piece of skinny pop.
That's not good.
I had someone in my comments yesterday. Someone sent me a message on my IG story. You know, you claim to love bear. That's how they started it. This is the start.
You never like to hear it that way.
You claim to love bear, but you feed him salty human food. You're killing him. You know what? Why don't you ask him how he's doing?
Oh, he says he's doing fine.
I gave Bear a chicken heart yesterday.
Wow.
You know how happy he was? You know how salty and delicious that is for a dog? Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't eat it all day every day. He's a very, very healthy creature. He eats low residue, low fat food for his meals every day. And I give him very small amounts so he has some room to have some human treats. But it's the joy of his life.
Everybody wants to get involved in everybody's life. So I'm going to get involved in National League fans' life.
Yeah, good. You should.
So here we go. So I don't get to experience National League baseball all that often.
Not all that often,
It's pretty much 9 times a year when the Yankees play in National League ballparks. Anybody who is against the universal DH, you got to get your head examined. What fun is it to watch pitchers be overmatched in the box. They can't hit. And Paul O'Neill brought up a good point. He said, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And everybody keeps bringing up guys like Madison Bumgarner and Jacob DeGrom. You know what their lifetime batting average is, Peter? Like under 200. So even the good ones stink.
Right.
I mean, what are we doing? Is the double switch that much of a turn on for you that you want to see these pitchers be absolutely helpless at the plate? It's a joke. It's an affront. It's an affront to, if you're watching the game, to see this kind of nonsense maybe three times a game. You see a pitcher go up there that has no chance to compete, and that's fun just because you love the double switch? Defend yourself. Call in. I don't
go
get
ahead.
It. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me, Peter.
With good reason. I don't understand. Listen, it's fun. The idea of someone like DeGrom or Mad Bum, getting to see guys like that play and bat, and especially when they're having a season like DeGrom has had where they're actually effective, it's fun. It's cute. It's not enough reason to basically willingly make the game in your league worse. I can't imagine it's that fun. To your point, what's the, and by the way, what did you say? That's the overall average is under 200?
Well, no. Their career average, but the overall average of pitchers this year is 111. Oh, I gotta see them hit. So for every phenomenal moment like Bartolo Colon hitting a home run, it's worth all of these swings and misses. They don't even know how to get down bunts. It's a joke. Don't come at me with any, we shouldn't have a DH. There should have been a DH in the National League the same year they had in the American League. The fact that this has gone on for this long is a joke. It's an affront to a baseball fan. Sit back, relax, and watch this guy strike out. Don't we have enough strikeouts in the game? You want to have pitchers be non-competitive? Come on. Stop it. Just stop it.
But who feels that strongly about it also? That's the thing.
Oh, there are a lot of National League fans. Oh, it'd be terrible if we... I want to see the pitcher's hit. I love the double switch.
Why do they always sound that way when they talk?
Like, flush it.
That's how people sound to me, right? When I don't agree with them.
That's when men were men.
Terrible. Hey, how about... How about the Indianapolis Colts, huh? Carson Wentz is out 5 to 12 weeks with a broken foot. He's having surgery. They
God
don't have a quarterback
me.
On their roster that has thrown an NFL pass.
I will fight you after this show.
And now there's talk about getting Nick Foles, which is the worst nightmare that Carson Wentz could have.
Can you imagine?
It's not fair.
Boy, you dodged the bullet. They're getting rid of him.
He'd probably still take him back.
Look, I'll get behind anything.
And they said that this injury goes back to when he was in high school.
You know that Andrew refuses to let go of this man.
Of course. I love this guy.
That's him.
Sad. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lou in Maspeth. Lou.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great.
First time,
you?
Long time.
Thanks.
I'd be a lot better if the president and general manager of the New York Mets actually did something at the deadline. Listen, Baez is a great piece, and I'll say this. He better sign him in the offseason. You don't make this move, and you don't let Baez walk out the door at the end of the year, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing, this is all on him. This is all on Scott. You knew DeGrom was hurt. You needed pitching. You didn't even get a bullpen arm, Michael. This team is going to be shot in 2 weeks before it gets to the West Coast. The lineup is not hitting outside of Alonso, who's okay. All right? You got Nolan Dorf. Conforto can't find his way out of a paper bag, and he's going to want $200 million with, oh, by the way, the same guy who represents Rocker, Boris, is really going to sit there and let the Mets lowball him for $200. This is all on Alderson. He needed pitching help, bullpen arms. You talk about Kimbrel, too. How you let that happen, it's all on him. All on him. I didn't like him when he came with the Wilpons. I knew why Cohen got him, because this was the easy way for him to get the ownership he needed. But let me tell you, he completely foobarred this.
All right?
And now
you
got
what?
Guys like Stroman and Walker, who are hitting proverbial walls, and it's going to come crashing down.
Lou, it's hard to argue with you, man. The rocker thing is a disgrace, and the fact that you don't pick up a pitcher when you know that DeGrom is injured. Nobody else knew to what extent. They knew he was out, but they thought he'd be back in August. But now it's September, and you cross your fingers that it's September. So that's a bad look. The Mets did not have a great trade deadline at all. You know, Jeff Passan and Eduardo Perez were on ESPN, and they talked about the Mets not signing Rocker. Let's listen.
There are injury concerns there, certainly, and those injury concerns made it such that the Mets did not believe that paying Kumar Rocker, not just paying him $6 million, paying him anything at all was going to be worth it for them. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing because we've all seen Kumar Rocker and how good he's been, and it's difficult to reconcile what the Mets saw in the imaging and what Rocker's gone and done out and performed.
What does Rocker do now?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what does he do now? He just has to, I guess, believe in what Scott Boras' team is going to tell him to do. That's one thing that, it's the I don't know part of this. But I will tell you this. As a freshman, he was dominant. And we always thought he was going to grow and get bigger and stronger, and he was going to dominate everyone else. The slider stayed nasty. The fastball didn't increase in velocity. And that was a concern for a lot of guys. I remember KP always saying, I have no concerns at all. There was some flags there because we always thought he was going to be the number one pitcher.
Could you have invested $6 million in him for the future? Could you have said, we're going to give you the six, now we're going to hopefully, maybe we're going to have surgery here, and we'll see you in 2 years?
You could have, but they're going to get a draft pick next year, 11th overall, and that was the calculus for them.
So John Morosi is reporting that Rocker is not planning on going back to Vanderbilt. So he's going to have to play in an independent league, which has no agreement with Major League Baseball, or sit out a year. Think about that. Poor guy.
Also, a correction in terms of what he could have meant for the Mets. And I probably should have figured this out based on his name, but then reading about his family makeup. He's not only a black American, he's also, his grandparents are from India. Any potential there, Michael, to be a popular player in Queens?
Yeah, I know what Passan's saying, you know, get the 11th pick next year. But Rocker, until this year, was considered the number one pick in the draft.
Well, that's the thing. So, yeah, you get the pick again, which is weird, by the way. Let's just be real. The entire baseball draft relative to other sports is bizarro and hard to even follow. But, yeah, but Michael, if he was supposedly a huge steal, it's great that you get the same pick, but you're going to get another steal again at 11?
No, you're probably going to get the 11th pick. That's what you're going to get.
And so, this was a guy who talent-wise is a top 2-3 pick.
And I will tell you this. There's no proof of it. There will never be proof of it. But I am sure that somebody from the Major League Baseball brain trust got a hold of Steve Cohen and go, you can't send out tweets like that. That's unacceptable. You can't. You can't say they're worth five times more what they are, because now we're going to have to increase. In the next CBA, we're going to have to increase. It's a joke. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to give a couple of things here. First, shout out to Rosenberg. I was actually at the Sasso game. I was the one with the kind of kicked shirt.
Oh yeah, you're a nice man.
And thank you. So are you, and thank you for you know, taking a picture with my daughter and Bear. She loved Bear. You know, I wanted two things about the Mets. One is, not only did they mess up with the Baez trade. I mean, they traded the Rocket thing, but they traded Pearl Armstrong, like their top prospect, right, for a guy that they didn't really need. Where's the, you know, like, where's the pitcher, like you said? Where's the, you know, where's another outfielder? Because my other point is, Conforto's playing himself out of this, off the team.
Oh,
like,
I mean,
there's no way he gets re-signed, right?
Not of the money he's expecting. I mean, the money that he turned down in spring training, he's not going to see anywhere close to that. So, I mean, there are a lot of if you were going to trade Pete Crow Armstrong, who's a number one, your first-round draft pick, if you were willing to part with your first-round draft pick, now, I'm saying Baez is a good player. I don't think they're going to sign him. Why would you invest that kind of money up the middle? Why? It doesn't make sense. So, they'll probably let him go at the end of the year. So if you're willing to part with a first-round draft pick, then part with a first-round draft pick for a pitcher. Now, the Met offense has been somewhat tired of late, but since the All-Star break, before this recent stretch, they were scoring five runs a game. That's plenty with their pitching, but they need pitching reinforcement. You couldn't give either Batty or Pete Crow Armstrong to get a pitcher? I'm sorry. They need pitching, and you're going to see they're going to need pitching. It was a huge gamble, and you got a player that once Lindor comes back, it's kind of repetitive. It's almost like what the Yankees did when they got Stanton and they had Judge. It's a repetitive talent, and it makes Lindor happy, but the Mets would be out of their mind if they sign Javi Baez for, like, I don't know, $250 million. So you're going to commit $600 million up the middle for the next 10 years. No way. There's no way. That's not a smart allocation of funds.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
One of our followers on Twitter said, K and Rosenberg better than Don and Rosenberg.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
It's not. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what it is?
What is it?
This is more rare.
Yeah, we don't do this very often.
Like, people get me and Don alone a lot because... Well, there's two. How much do you want me to lift the curtain up?
How am I a Yankees boy?
Whatever you like.
Here's the thing. When you look at it, number one, we don't get to do this very often. Number two, when you're gone, it shifts Don into being a different role. So it takes us time to settle in to kind of doing the same show because he becomes show leader, Don. He doesn't have the same crazy in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah!
He's handling business. And then I have to adjust also. But when you're here, you're always the leader of the show. So I can just stay in my regular role, wait for the pill, shoot my threes, that's it. But when you're not here, Don goes up and takes point. I move over to shooting guard. It gets good, but it takes time. I think just you and me is an easier thing because it's the same regular general roles.
See,
it's just one person's removed.
There is an adjustment for me, though.
Oh, you have to talk more.
I definitely have to talk more. And I mean,
well,
we joke
awesome.
About it, but Don talks a lot. So that gives me time to breathe. But with you, you still do your role, but now you extract Don's... verbosity, and it's different.
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
It's true.
All right, I have a stat that's going to knock your socks off. It knocked my socks off.
Okay.
I just got it. It's from Stats Inc., right? So the Yankees just went on a 10-game road trip, and they're 6-4. And in every single one of the games, every single one, they scored 4 runs or fewer. They're only the second team in baseball history to go on a 10-game road trip and win 6 games, scoring just 4 runs or fewer in every single game. Never once did they blow anybody out. And the only other team was the 1971 Mets, and that was a team that Ken Singleton was on. I think that's amazing.
Wow.
And that's why you could get excited about the weekend, and you should, but it was the same old issues. They didn't score. They stranded runners on base constantly. Now, we can make an excuse and say that the Marlins have really good pitching, and they do, but you're going to face really good pitching in the playoffs too, and it's the same old story. So they won those 3 games in Miami because they got really good pitching. Their bullpen was top flight, and Anthony Rizzo was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, what was his best day? Saturday?
It was probably
Sunday was 1-for-4, right? Wasn't
right.
He 2-for-2 with a walk, a home run, like 3 RBI on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know if he made an out on Saturday. Yeah,
I don't think he did.
Saturday was probably his best day. I mean, but they were 3 really good days. And yesterday had a really good defensive play and then got the base hit against Richard Bleier. Now, very quickly, a lot of people want to call in and we'll get to your phone calls. But I brought this up on the broadcast yesterday. So Domingo Germán underwent an MRI today. They haven't gotten the results. And supposedly his shoulder was barking. And this is the second time that we've seen this after one in attempted history, and then another history. And I was talking to a baseball guy. I'll leave it as, you know, as nebulous as that.
Okay.
Who said they should never have allowed Kluber to go for that no-hitter. And I told the guy, I mean, he didn't have that many pitches. He said, you don't understand. You're locked into another level because you're trying to get a no-hitter, and you're probably throwing the way you haven't thrown in forever. He goes, and it, he told me this before Kluber got hurt. He said it could end up biting you. The next time out, Kluber pitched three innings and left, and we haven't seen him since. Now, he did have a simulated game at the stadium today off the stadium mound, threw 22 pitches. Everything seemed like it went well. Then, let's go back to Domingo Germán. Domingo Germán pitched 7 shutout innings against the Red Sox. And then came out to pitch the 8th inning, which I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback here. I said, I don't understand why they did that. He was over 90 pitches. He hadn't thrown that many pitches in forever. Remember, he didn't pitch last year. And then he gave up the double over the head of Allen to Alex Verdugo. And even after the game, Boone said, you know what, we were in a dangerous territory there. We were taking it, you know, batter by batter. And I said on the show, well, that makes no sense. You were never letting him pitch a no-hitter. He would have gone to 130 pitches. So now this is 2 times. One, they actually got history. Another time, I don't know why he came out to pitch the 8th. And then the bullpen ended up blowing it anyway, so maybe they would have blown it anyway. But you're pushing people that haven't been to that level, and the Yankees are so careful with their pitching. And I've seen it, like when David Cone threw his perfect game in 1999, Peter, he was never the same. Never the same. And he just threw 88 pitches. So I've had David Cone tell me, it's not the number of pitches. It's the amount of effort you put into the pitches, how hard you have to work. Now, if you're trying to get a perfect game or a no-hitter, you're working a little bit harder than you would if the game was 8-1. See, and I disagree with the guy who said it about Kluber. I would have let Kluber go because I think he ended up with 105 pitches, which is nothing. But he said the stress of the last 20 will come back and bite him, and it did. I never understood the Germán stuff, even when it was happening, why he came out to pitch the 8th inning. The only thing I could think of is that Boone was maybe, I can't say afraid, but he was cognizant of the fact that he was going to get destroyed if he took him out. And my point is, I don't care if you get destroyed. That's not your job, is to get this guy a no-hitter. There was no way he was getting 6 outs. So why even bring him out for the 8th inning when you even said after the game, that was a dangerous territory anyway. We were in a dangerous area. And now he's in an MRI tube today. So, who knows? But you maybe look back. There are some people that actually have pitched. Like when David Wells pitched his perfect game in 1998, he went on to be the best pitcher in baseball the rest of the year. He almost pitched another perfect game against the A's. That's how good he was. So, I mean, you could always find instances, but I'm afraid for pitching this year because these guys are pitching innings they didn't even come close to pitching last year. We're already into, 59 games remaining. They only played 60 games last year, so you played 103 games. Well, in the Yankees' case, 102, so they have 60 games remaining. No, they have 58 games remaining. Yeah, they played 104. They played 104 games. And they only played 60 last year in the regular season. So you are really in dangerous territory with all the pitchers. So Domingo Germán didn't pitch last year because he was suspended. Corey Kluber pitched 1 inning last year before he got hurt. So they have to deal with pitchers a lot different. That's why if Severino and Kluber could get back, these are fresh arms now. And that same guy who told me about the no-hitter with Kluber said, if he can actually get back on the mound, this will be the best thing for him because he'll have 2 months to reset. Well, let's see if he gets back. 1-800-919-3776. And that was, as you know, Peter, I mean, you're well aware of that, right?
Of course.
That was the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. So let's go to the phones. Dennis in Brooklyn. Dennis.
Hey, guys. Just want to say, Brian Cashman, have you ever seen like a dichotomy as far as 2 separate trade deadlines where one, he flips, he gets chips back, Chapman, Frazier, Gleyber Torres, and then this one, he builds. It's such a great dichotomy. Peter, I want to tell you, great album, and are you going tomorrow night? Dipset, I'll be there, all right? Thanks, guys.
Nice.
What is tomorrow?
I don't think. Tomorrow is Dipset. This is very exciting, Michael. Dipset versus the Lox at the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
I don't believe I'm going, though. After my last sort of run-in where I got a little too close for comfort with COVID, I think I'm going to chill.
You know what I'm doing this weekend?
Go ahead.
I'm going down to Atlanta, going to the Mercedes-Benz Dome, and I'm going to hang with Kanye and finish the Donda album.
Are you? I didn't know if he wanted.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know if he needed you for that.
Well, he needs me. He knows he needs me, and I could be an inspiration for him. He's missing the kids, so I'm going to help him finish the Donda album.
Can you imagine if he played it for you, how effective you could be in helping him?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Just
I
getting
could really be effective.
Yeah, just getting your ear on everything.
Yep, because I've got that discerning ear.
That's right. I mean, and finally he would know it's his time to do a cover of Build Me Up Buttercup.
Tell me that wouldn't rock. Are you at least a little bit impressed that I knew the name of the album Donda?
No.
And that he's sleeping in Mercedes-Benz Dome?
No. Honestly, at this point, you think I'm impressed by that, Michael? You always know these things. I accept that you just follow every major story that's happening. You basically know.
I'm a savant.
Yeah. How many different things do you consume for news each day?
Oh, everything. Every possible way to get news.
Do you go to TMZ?
No, I don't do that. No, I get that, but I follow them on Twitter, so if something big happens.
So you will see a big story anyway.
Oh, yes, of course. You have to.
And what sports websites do you go to? You go to The Athletic?
The Athletic is my go-to, The Post, The Times.
ESPN.
ESPN, the news a little bit, although some of the things in the news, like this week, anyway. Anyway, that's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. All right, let's go back to the phones.
Sure.
Let's go to Michael in Mineola. Michael!
Michael! I wanted to call it today because you are never in a good mood, and today you're in a good mood. I said, I got to call Michael because you're in a good mood. And here we are.
Good for you.
You know what? I will tell you one thing, Michael. I'll let you finish your point. If you follow the show, and it sounds like you do, I'm always in a good mood on Monday. As the week goes on, I get miserable. But Monday, I'm shot out of a cannon. So,
and Friday,
I agree
you're
with
great.
You. Friday, I'm good because I can see the end. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's heavy lifting.
Tough, yeah.
Fair point. Here's the issue. You, for many years, and last 2 years specifically, have been railing against all the negative Yankee fans. They call up, and they're always talking, and your always answer is, oh, they had 130 wins last year. You're so spoiled. You're so spoiled, Yankee fans. Okay, but then we see that they're not structured properly, and it was clear in the last, let's say, full season, which is last year and the first half of this year, and suddenly you started to come around. So really my question is, what you think, in all honesty, about Joey Gallo, a guy who has more strikeouts than Stanton this season, being that fixed? I know that Rizzo is great. I love Rizzo. Everybody loves Rizzo. But this guy Gallo is not the answer. I know he's lefty, but there are other lefties out there. Why would you think that this is maybe a good answer for the Yankees?
Well, because there's a couple of things. He strikes out way too much for my liking, Michael. And if it was just Gallo and not Rizzo, I don't think I'd have the same reaction as I do. But Gallo has an extraordinarily high on-base percentage. So he works a lot of walks. And once they got rid of sticky stuff, I also noticed a dramatic drop in the percentage of strikeouts in his at-bats. That's number two. And number three, he's not a whale and bail guy like Rob Deer. He's a great outfielder. He has a great arm. He's won a gold glove. He's versatile. He runs the bases well. He can play first, third, and he can play all three outfield positions. There's value to this guy. And, Michael, I'll tell you this. They're not the only team that wanted him. They are not the only team that wanted him. This guy was desired by a lot of teams in baseball. A lot. A lot of teams were going for him. So the Yankees were not alone. He fits the profile for all the analytic crowd because they don't care about the strikeouts, and this guy gives you more than just the strikeouts. Now, you can look at Stanton and go, well, Stanton has a higher batting average. Yeah, but Stanton hasn't been able to play the outfield for 2 years until the last 4 days. Time for today's New York Mets starting lineup against the Marlins. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew. Nimmo in center, leading off. Alonso plays first and bats second. McNeil at second hits third. Javi Baez, the shortstop, cleans up. Batting fifth, the third baseman, J.D. Davis. Dom Smith in left field will bat sixth. Batting seventh and catching, James McCann. Kevin Pillar in the right field is going to bat eighth. And batting ninth is Tyler McGill. He will pitch and bat ninth. That's the Mets starting lineup brought to you by Tully Mardew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tully Mardew Irish whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tully Mardew responsibly. Let's see. Let's go to Joe in Texas. Joe!
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Domingo Germán hurt his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I think he heard it swinging the bat.
Well, I know the swing you're talking about, but Boone said that his shoulder was bothering him before the game. You know, they were nursing it along. So there was something wrong there before the game. So a lot of people have pointed out that at bat where he kind of like winced, but it was an issue before that. An issue before that. Let's go to Ryan in Long Island. Ryan.
Michael, how you doing? Peter, how you doing?
Great.
Yo.
Michael, my girlfriend and I actually, we ran into you after the last game of the homestand, and we took a picture of you. Just want to say, very nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Like right outside the stadium.
Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took a picture. I'll post it on Twitter. I'll tag you guys.
Cool.
I just wanted to say I have a really good feeling about the Yankees' chances for the remainder of the season, and I actually really believe they could come back and win this division. With, like, Cole, Severino, Kluber coming back. I mean, Severino and Kluber coming back for the playoffs and the way Tyon's been pitching. I really like our chances in a 5- or 7-game series.
Well, you know what, Ryan? I think, obviously, they have a chance with the additions they've made to win the East, but that's a long shot. I think you're going to get in as a wild card, and that's scary because it's one game. It could be one game, who knows, against the Red Sox at Fenway Park. You have no idea. So it's tightening up. It doesn't seem as Herculean a task as it did before. They could win the East. But the only problem is that Tampa Bay is now pulled ahead of Boston. The Yankees only have 3 games remaining with Tampa Bay. And those are the last 3 games of the season. So let's see if the Red Sox retake the lead, because the Yankees, I believe, have 6 or 7 games remaining with Boston. So they have a better chance to have it in their hands. So they have 3 games remaining with the A's, and they have 4 games remaining with the Marlins, and they have games with the Blue Jays as well. So that's all right in front of them where they could do the heavy lifting themselves. But with Tampa Bay, well, we got to depend on others, so it's hard. So if you're further than 3 games out and you got to wait until the last 3 days, that's when it would get scary, Peter. Let's say you go into those that last weekend and you're 3 games behind Tampa Bay. This is just a fantasy. You're 3 games behind.
Okay.
And you use your 3 best pitchers, and then you don't catch them. Then you've used your 3 best pitchers, and you have to go with your 4th best pitcher to pitch the wild card game. That's scary. Now, there's a lot of value in winning the division because you don't have to play that 1-game wild card. But if you don't win and you go for it, that's a whole other Megilla. Not good. Not good.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.